You remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. It comes to us this morning, two places, the 100th Psalm, and then from the letter of the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning with the 15th verse. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And then from Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom with gratitude in your hearts. Sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's the word of God for the people of God. You know, I can admit this now mainly because I simply couldn't see it then. But I spent the better part of the first half of my life oblivious to how blessed I was. To me, it just seemed normal. Because I hadn't really spent a lot of time in places where people weren't nearly as blessed as I was. Some people might say I was spoiled. But it just depends on who you compare it to, right? It's always relative to what you have and others. I grew up in a middle-class family in a small South Georgia town. I had loving parents who made my life secure. I was given an opportunity to succeed. We had enough financially. I had faith live before me. Then by the time I reached adulthood, I'd been given a college education where I met my beautiful wife who agreed to leave the tropical paradise of Miami to come to a pig farm outside a three red light town called Lyons. I had a good job with Georgia Power. I had a modest home on our farm. And in spite of all of that, I was miserable as many days as I was happy. Like a prodigal son feeding pigs in the far country, having been given everything and appreciating nothing, I came to my senses. And the question I finally asked was, what is the matter with me? How can you have everything you could possibly ask for and be so dissatisfied? And of course, you know what I didn't have. And I didn't have a relationship with Christ, but what that basically meant was, I didn't understand grace. And when you don't understand grace, you don't understand gratitude. And when you don't understand gratitude, you can never be content. And when you aren't content, you will never be truly happy, no matter how good your life is. You see what a vicious cycle this is? I mean, don't get me wrong, all my life, I loved my parents. I loved my wife as best I knew how at that point. I can't necessarily say I loved my job, but it was a good job. I loved my little house on the farm. But what I didn't understand back then is, I didn't deserve any of it. In fact, I didn't earn any of it. Though I could easily convince myself that I had earned this or that or the other, it was all grace. It was not just the gift of my parents or the gift of my wife or the gift of my employer or the gift of my country. It was all a gift of God given to me through those different avenues, and I was blind to it. And so as I began to look at my own unhappiness, see, before I began to look outside of me, why it was always everyone and everything else's problem, not mine, I began to look inside myself. I discovered how blessed I was. And the real kicker was that I discovered that God loved me in spite of me. is I began to read a little pocket New Testament that I'd never really read before. One day I read a verse in the book of Romans that said, "Scarcely even for a good man would someone dare to die," which I was not. "But while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me." So what changed my life was my eyes were finally open to this thing called grace, which finally caused my heart to be filled with gratitude. And simply put, what changed my life is I finally became thankful. I mean, I'd always known how to say thank you and please and yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, of course. But those were just polite words. They were not the state of my heart. And I'm sorry all of this story sounds so self-absorbed. I've told you before that I just preach to me. And you get to overhear whatever God is dealing with in me. And occasionally, maybe what's going on with me resonates with your experience too. I also recognize that ever since then, I've come to relate to God with a sense of indebtedness. My experience of grace created a debt for me. A debt I cannot repay. And it leaves me humbled and thankful. And I'm constantly working on having it not leave me just purely guilty. But I'll come back to that. In Paul's letter, he said, "I'm grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord that He judged me faithful and appointed me to His service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly." I read that about Paul and could resonate with it in a sense, but I thought at least Paul had an excuse for his ungrateful heart. Unlike Paul, I wasn't ignorant. I'd heard it all my life. We said grace at every meal, which is not entirely true. I talked about this last year. We said the blessing at every meal. The blessing. Bless this food. Bless our family. Bless us. Bless us some more as if we aren't already blessed. If we said grace, however, I guess we just simply say, "Thank you, Lord. This is all a gift from you. And we don't deserve any of it." So I wasn't ignorant. I was probably selfish, likely rebellious, because there are no end to the obstacles to a thankful heart. The 73rd Psalm, the writer says, "I was envious." And that can get in the way, you know. I was envious. We can't see our own blessings and be grateful for them because all I can see is the blessings of others that are greater than mine. Or maybe that elder brother of the prodigal that I mentioned earlier. He wasn't just envious. If you remember his story, he was bitter. And bitterness leaves no room for gratitude. In fact, you could go a step farther and say he was bitter because he was entitled. He deserved more. "All my life I worked like a slave for you," he said to his father. "You didn't give me anything." He couldn't see that his father was giving him everything because he thought he deserved it. Or what about the rich fool? We talk about him with some regularity. You remember the guy whose fields produced an abundant harvest and he tore down his old barns and built some new barns and stored it all up? His obstacle to a thankful heart was his own success. "Look what I've done," he said. "And this is what I'll do." I mean, how can I be thankful for what I've done? I mean, that was Moses' warning to Israel before they went into the promised land, remember? When you get into the promised land and you are successful beyond your wildest dreams, be careful you don't forget who gave it all to you. And say, "Look what we've done." And then there's this monster called discontentment. I mean, it is as likely the product of having too much as it is of having not enough. Remember Adam and Eve? Remember that? "You may eat of the fruit of the tree, all the fruit of the trees of the garden, but one tree." And what came? Discontentment with all of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Or remember David? all his wives, and he sees Bathsheba one day. Discontentment. Or Solomon, who has this testimony about being a man who had everything, everything. But discontentment plagued his life. It may be the plague of America. You know, how can I be thankful with what I have and who I'm with and where I am and what I do when I'm constantly bombarded by the idea that there is always something bigger and better and newer and more exciting? If I just had it, my life would be so much better. Which is why Paul, in the passage we read from Colossians, makes this connection between peace and thankfulness. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and be thankful. I mean, what that means is learn to live gracefully. See, when we learn to live gracefully, it inevitably means we will start to live gratefully. And that changes the way I do everything if I live gracefully and gratefully. Changes the way I love my wife and the way I do my job. I am thankful to serve at Wesley. It changes the way I treat other people. Gracefully, graciously, thankfully. And I can't talk about grace and thanksgiving on Veterans Day weekend without being reminded of how blessed we are to live in this free and prosperous nation. And how grateful I am for all of those who have made and are still making that possible for me and for you. But I am constantly amazed at how many people seem to be so ungrateful for the privilege we enjoy here. But that's another sermon. So this is just a shout out to our veterans in active duty who give this gift to us and their families who walk through it with them. But because it's Veterans Day, last night there was nothing on but war movies, right? Veterans Day. And I couldn't watch the Georgia game that I had recorded. And anytime I'm turning the channel, Veterans Day or not, and Saving Private Ryan is on, it's just one of those movies I just can't seem to turn the channel off of. I just have to keep watching it. You know that movie? It all builds up to that scene at the end when just about everybody who went to bring Private Ryan home has died. And as he is dying, Tom Hanks says to Ryan, "Earn this. Earn this." And I'm thinking, that is a burden to bear. Earn this? All these people who died for you? Jesus once asked, what can a man give in exchange for his life? How do we earn that? You know, we don't. It's grace. We don't earn grace. And that point to what I said I'd come back to later is the difference between guilt and gratitude as the motivation out of which we live our lives is that we shouldn't feel guilty about being blessed. We should feel grateful. We should, however, feel guilty about not being grateful or about not being a blessing out of the blessing I have received. To which is what it means to be not thankful. You know that word, thankful? My cup runneth over. When I am thankful that I am blessed, my blessing overflows to others. When I live out of grace, I live gracefully, graciously, generously. See, the power of a thankful heart is it fills me up and it pours me out. Outside of myself, which is really important because sin is always luring me inside of myself. Luring me to make it all about me. Hence the word we're talking about this week and next. Thanksgiving. Thankfulness prompts giving, not taking. Selflessness, not selfishness. So today what I'm really talking about is why we give. And it's because we are saved by grace. And we are thankful. That's why. That's enough. Next week, we'll talk about what we give when we understand grace and we develop a thankful heart. So I'll leave you this morning again with the words of the psalmist that said, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. So enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, and bless His name, because it is all grace, folks. And if thankfulness is the only virtue we ever develop in our life, it will be enough to change our lives and change our world. Amen. Amen. Amen.